If you would, to the Gospel of John, John chapter 11, John chapter 11, and we want to really look at 45 verses in this particular chapter, but I'm not going to read all 45 of them at this time. We have been in a series this month, Launch Out in Compassion, and how that we are to be a compassionate people, and if some have compassion, making a difference. We make a difference by having compassion upon others. Well, our Lord definitely was one who expressed compassion, and this is a clear passage of Scripture that shows us the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as I said, we'll look at the first 45 verses of this particular chapter. But let's pray and ask God's direction and blessing now, if you would. Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, who, as we hear the word of God, ministers in our hearts and in our lives. Help us now to just stay attentive throughout the message, and help us to get what we need to hear from you through your word now. Help us to be obedient to it, in Jesus' name, amen. As we live, we experience losses in life. A loss of a loved one, loss of our health, loss of our wealth, loss of a job, loss of a friend. Losses are a part of life. And the Lord reaches out to broken hearts. He understands your loss, and he cares when you experience loss of any kind. And here in John chapter 11, we see the care and the love of the Lord expressed toward a family that was hurting. And I want you to notice with me, if you would, this morning, I'm going to preach a message entitled, The Lord's Love in Our Losses. The Lord's Love in Our Losses. And notice with me, if you would, in the first 32 verses, we see his love brings him to where we are. Begin with me now at verse number 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. So we see the connection that the Lord had with this family. We see that Lazarus is sick. He is really sick to the point of death. But we find now in verse number 4 the response of the Lord Jesus. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And we see here that the Lord, early on in this conversation and in this account, is expressing to the family, and I believe to others, that God is going to be glorified, that this sickness is not unto death, but it is that the Son of God might be glorified through it. And through that, church, let me say that we need to understand as well is that God can be glorified through our loss. No matter what the loss is, God can be glorified through it. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. So, even though the invitation was, come take care of our brother, we find that the Lord did not move in haste. We find in verse number 6 that he abode there 2 days in that same place. And so we find in verse number 7, then after that he saith to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Now his disciples struggle with this because, you know, don't you know that the Jews sought to stone you? And you're talking about going back there. And so the Lord helps them understand why he made this request. And we find in verse number 11, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And so then the disciples said in verse 12, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. That would seem like kind of a harsh statement if you take it on face value. Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad that I wasn't there, to the intent ye may believe, he says in verse 15. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And so we see here that his love brings him to where we are, and his love caused him to go where they were. He says, now it's time, men. I know you wanted me to go earlier, and I know the family wanted me to come. Lazarus is sick. He's at the point of death. But we need to understand, church, and I know here we know it, but sometimes we forget about it in our hearts. And that is that the Lord does not work according to our timetable. He always works according to his. And his way and his timing is always perfect. Always. And we can trust him in that. And he says here in verse number 14 and 15, that it's time for us to go. Let's go unto him. And his love had caused him to go there. He loved this family dearly. It wasn't that he was callous toward them. It wasn't that he didn't care about Lazarus. But remember what he said early on in the account, this sickness is not unto death, but is for the glory of God. And so we find that his love moved him, and may I say that it was his love that moved him, if you would, to leave heaven to come where we are. I'm glad we don't have a Lord that is aloof from us, but came right to this earth and dwelt among men. For the Bible says in John 1 and verse number 14, and the Word, that word, their word, is speaking of Jesus. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So he left heaven to dwell among men. Another verse that expands on that is Matthew 1:23, where it says, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, catch it now, God with us. So the Lord left heaven, born of a virgin, to dwell among us. He again was not aloof from our problems. He is a God that is near, he is a Lord that is near, and he left heaven to come to where we are. He endured the cross to come where we are. And he offers forgiveness, meeting us where we are. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 14 says, in whom, speaking of Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So his love moved him to come where we are. Now notice in verse number 23 and following, we find the Bible says, well, let's move it up just a little bit. Go to verse number 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Just a side note, it's an interesting study to look at these two ladies throughout the gospel accounts and find what Martha is doing and find what Mary is doing. Martha is often cumbered about with much serving. Mary is often found sitting at the feet of Jesus. But Martha, knowing that Jesus is coming, she leaves the house, if you would, and she doesn't sit still. She goes to meet Jesus. Now look, if you would, at verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Now, notice the charge, if you would, that she lays at the feet of Jesus, because Mary makes the same kind of response to Jesus. She said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." One of these struggles from time to time that we pastors have is when people experience a loss of any kind, and we hear these words, "Why didn't God stop this?" Or, "Why did God allow this? If he was so loving, then he could have stopped this from happening. If he knows everything, then why did he allow this to happen?" Martha's struggling with this. "We told you, Lord, our brother was sick. You waited 2 days, and now he's dead. Lord, if thou hadst been here, he had not died." Well, now let's look at the response of Jesus. "Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again." Well, now that's kind of a strange statement. "Thy brother shall rise again." Now, not strange to Jesus, but just think about this. Just if you would, put yourself in her shoes for a moment. You have a loved one that just passed, and Jesus walks up to you and says, "Your loved one's going to rise again." Now, I don't know what your response would be to that, but notice now, if you would, at verse number 24, Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." I know that, Jesus. I know he's going to rise again. But Jesus says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" So here we find that Jesus is just giving an important truth about himself personally that is still true to this day. "I am the resurrection and the life." And when we believe on him, though we were dead, yet shall we live. Hey, I'm glad, church family, that when our loved ones in Christ pass away, We sorrow not as others who have no hope. But we know that one day when Jesus comes, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And we're to comfort one another with these words. Well, Martha, again, struggling with this. So now notice verse 27. She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. So now there's going to be this conversation between Mary and Jesus. But now notice, if you would, in verse number 32. Then Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." So both of these sisters, if you would, make the same kind of statement to the Lord Jesus. "If you had been here, this would not have happened." Sometimes, church, when we go through any kind of loss in life, we want to charge God and say, "God, where were you in all of this? I have been serving you. I have been living for you. I have been doing my best to go the straight and narrow way. And God, you allow this to happen? Really? Where's your love? Where's your care for me in my life?" Now, understand that what took these ladies by surprise did not take the Lord by surprise. We have to remember this. Things that we encounter, particularly if they happen sudden, we just look at that and we think to ourselves, "Where's God?" But God was not taken by surprise. Do you believe that this morning? Say amen. Nothing surprises God. Nothing just ever occurs to God. He sees the end from the beginning. He sees it all. We don't have that perspective. But we do have this biblical perspective that he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And here in this context, he is sharing with these ladies that he is just showing them his love by coming to where they are. So now he is literally in their presence. They have this initial conversation. If you had been here, he had not died. But we find that his love, even to this day, is shown to us by coming to where we are. But notice something else, a second truth. In verse number 33 through verse number 38, we note this truth, that his love causes him to enter into our pain. Now catch this. Look at the human side of Jesus. He's God and he's man, but notice his human side. When Jesus, therefore, verse 33, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He groaned, being deeply agitated by something. That's what that word groan means. What is he groaning about? Well, I think according to verse 33, because he saw all the crying going on. Well, you say, wouldn't that be natural? You lose a loved one and you would cry. Yes, but keep this in its context. Jesus had said, he's sleeping, if you would, and he's going to rise again. I am the resurrection and the life. So he groans in the spirit, verse 34, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Now the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He groaned. He was troubled. He wept. And according to Isaiah, he is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Here you see the love of the Lord and how deep his love was toward Lazarus. Behold how he loved him. Jesus wept. He entered the pain of this grieving family, but now listen to me carefully. He enters into our pain of loss of any kind. You see, it has been said that Jesus did not come to get us out of trouble, but to get into trouble with us. Because he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We don't have a Lord that is so high and so mighty that he doesn't care about his creation, because he does. And when you hear of tragic news in your life, may I say that the Lord has not left you. He is there. You got to hang on to that. You got to believe that. Because he said, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. He enters into our pain. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, the Lord in this context was touched. He weeps. He cares. One songwriter wrote this, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. He wants to share the burdens you bear, whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. And you see here, this mattered to these sisters. This mattered to them. But it also mattered to Jesus. The Bible tells us in Matthew 9 and verse number 36, speaking of Jesus, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He saw the multitudes. Now here's the rest of that verse. Because he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. As I thought about that, here is what I prayed as I was studying and preparing this message. I just lifted up a prayer to the Lord and I said, Lord, help me to see the multitudes with compassion. It's easy for us to become hardened toward people, but may we ever have a soft heart. May we ever have a spirit of compassion about us. Because you see, we have a Lord, no matter what the loss may be, we have a Lord who enters into our pain of that loss. Do you think the Lord ever lost or experienced the loss of a friend? Yeah, he was betrayed by one with a kiss. He was denied by another. So the Lord knows what it is like to experience the loss of a friend. He knows what it is like to go through great physical difficulty. Think about all that he endured on the cross and toward the cross. He enters into our pain. And that's why the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. In sunshine or shadow, he careth for you. He is not a Lord when you experience loss of any kind that stands off and doesn't care. He enters into the pain of that loss with you. These ladies in this context were able to see that this Lord that they loved was entering into their pain. But notice now with me, if you would, in verse 39 through verse number 45, we see that his love moves him to bring us hope. Look at this now. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Now, that must tell me that the embalming process was not as such as it is today, right? She was concerned, if you open that, roll away that stone, stench is going to come out. But what she was about to see that she didn't quite grasp was she didn't need to worry about the stink coming out. She was about ready to witness a miracle. Her brother, who was dead, is soon going to be alive. Look at this now, verse number 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Hey, that's always a good thing to say when God answers your prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for answering prayer. Notice verse 42. And I knew thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. He came forth. And we see here the resurrection of Lazarus, which involved the taking away of the stone and Jesus saying, Lazarus, come forth. Now, I love verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. I mean, can you imagine the scene, church? I mean, again, think of this. Here he is. He's dead. He's lying here in that grave, and he's wrapped up in all these grave clothes. And the Lord says, loose him and let him go. I don't know if you would have shouted. I don't know if you would have wept. I don't know what your response would have been. But we find here that Lazarus is alive just as Jesus said was going to happen. You see, the Lord, when we experience a loss of any kind, moves to bring us hope in that time of loss. Whatever it may be, if it's bad health, if we've lost some wealth, if we've lost a job, if we've lost a friend, whatever the loss may be, He knows He enters into that pain with you, but He, again, doesn't stand afar off. Sometimes we think He is. Sometimes we question, where are you? He is right where He's always been. He's with you because He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He's there with you to bring you hope. Look at verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on Him. You see, there was newfound hope for these Jews. They had witnessed this great miracle. Hey, don't you know that those Jews that believed on Jesus, that also glorified God? Not just the fact that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. That glorified God, yes. But the fact that these Jews, many of them, it says, believed on Jesus, that glorified God as well. Now, with all of this in mind, let me give to you three practical applications. First of all, the Lord invites you to bring Him your sins and sorrows and find forgiveness. This is the kind of Lord that we have, that even to this day He invites people to come to Him with their sins, with their heartaches, and say, Lord, I come to You. I need the forgiveness of my sins, and praise God through the blood that was sung about this morning, that His blood cleanseth us from all sin. So the Lord invites you today, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, to bring Him your sins, to bring Him your sorrows, and find forgiveness. And by the way, no man on this earth can forgive you of your sins. I don't care what kind of clothes he's wearing. No man on this earth can forgive your sins, but only one, the Lord Jesus. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So He stands ready today to enter into your life and to become your Savior, but He doesn't force His way in. He is waiting. He stands ready. Will you answer the invitation, come unto Me? The Spirit and the bride say, come. And may we come. If you don't know Christ, come to Him today. Secondly, the Lord invites you to bring Him your hurt and find healing. Again, whatever the loss is that you have possibly recently experienced, bring that to Him and find healing. He cares for you. He wants you to know of a healing that only He can bring. I have done a lot of funerals over the years of being a pastor, over 30 years of pastoring. And I have seen the Lord bring healing to a hurting heart in that kind of loss. But I've also been aside others in the churches I've pastored, and this also being one of them, of people who have experienced other kinds of losses. Loss of a friend, loss of a job, loss of some of their wealth. And in those times, the heart hurts. The pain is real, but so is the Lord, you know. He cares for you. He wants to bring you healing, and sometimes, by the way, He is the only one that can. He's the only one that can really bring a healing like no other. He cares for you. But the third point of application is this, is that the Lord invites you to bring Him your loss and find hope. Find hope. I have known of at least two Christian families through the years who lost their house to a fire. I mean, burned right down to the ground. They lost it all. Praise God, none of their family were present in the house. No one had to try to escape, so there was no loss of life, but just the loss of all of their possessions. I have seen those families literally rise out of the ashes, rebuild not only physically, but rebuild emotionally and find hope and go forward. Where do you get such strength? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You see, as we live, we will experience losses. We will. But in the loss, the Lord doesn't leave us to despair. He wants to bring us to hope. Some of you might know the name, and it's really not important whether you do know the name or not, but the name is Charles Weigel. Charles Weigel was an itinerant evangelist. And one day, after preaching a gospel crusade, he came home to find a note from his wife. She did not care for the life that she led because of being an evangelist wife, and she wrote a note and says, "I'm done. I'm leaving you." She's gone. So the next few years were years of deep despair and depression for Charles Weigel. He wondered if anyone really ever cared for him. And after a time in his life, his faith was restored, and he had become active for the Lord again. But it was during that time of having a renewed faith that he wanted to put a song on paper. And these were the words that he wrote: "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in Him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me." In his despair of losing his wife, he found hope. He found restoration in that relationship with the Lord, and he went on and he served the Lord. No matter what the loss is in your life, you too can find hope. That's what the Lord offers us today. He came to where we are to enter into our pain, and as He does so, He brings us hope in time of despair. I don't know, but today, that there may be some of you who have went through a recent loss. It could be a loss of a loved one, loss of health, your health has declined, things are not good in that area. In your mind, you're 20 years old, but your body says differently. You know what I mean? You're hurting. But the Lord says, "I love you. I care for you. I give you hope.
go forward. This is what we see in this chapter. He's the resurrection and the life. He gives hope. Today, turn to Him. Trust Him. Walk with Him. And He will give you hope in your time of loss. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, how I thank You this morning for the power of Your Word, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Father, how I thank You that we're able to see in this passage an example of a hurting family and how that Jesus gave them hope. Now, I realize this morning that there are those in front of me who possibly have experienced maybe a recent hope or loss, or could be something that's happened maybe a year or two ago, some kind of loss that they've experienced and has really gotten them down. Help them, Father, to look up to You. Help them not to be in despair. Strengthen them. Encourage them. Give them hope and a reason to go forward in their faith. This is my prayer this morning. For that precious soul that doesn't know Jesus, may they come to know Him as Savior and Lord today. In Jesus' name, with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, in just a moment, I'll have our pianist play the song, "Have Your Way, Lord, Have Your Way." But I wonder this morning there be someone here who would say, "Pastor, in my life, I do not know Jesus as my Savior. I do not know Him. I know of Him, but I do not know Him as my Savior. And today, I recognize that I am a sinner. I recognize that I am in need of His forgiveness of my sin. And I believe that Jesus died and rose again. And today I want to receive Him as my personal Savior." If that's your need, with our heads bowed, would you just raise your hand? I'll acknowledge it. You put it right back down. Say, "Yes, Pastor, that is my need. That's where I am. I don't know Jesus, but I want to know Him as my Savior." Would you just lift up your hand? I'll acknowledge it. You can put it right back down while we wait. Anybody at all while we wait? I wonder if there be those here who say, "Pastor, I know Jesus. No doubt about that in my mind. But I have been struggling as of late. I have been experiencing at times hopelessness. I've experienced despair. I've experienced discouragement. And some of that has been coming because of a loss in my life, either from a loved one or from my health or loss of some of my wealth, job, a friend." You could add to the list. But you know what that loss is. And you've just gotten in a place of despair, place of discouragement. Today, you want me to remember you in prayer. The Lord would restore hope to you, restore courage to go forward and have faith in Him no matter what. Say, "Pastor, that's my need. That's where I'm currently living. Would you remember me in prayer this morning? That God would just strengthen me during this time in my life." Would you raise your hand up right where you're at? Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. Several hands. Yes, God bless you. Are there others while we wait? Yes, God bless you, ma'am. Is there someone else? Say, "Yes, this is my need. This is where I'm living." Anybody else while we wait? Father, now, how I thank You that, again, You care. You show that to us in Your Word. You show that to us in life. Many hands have been raised. I'm so thankful that You see and know their hearts. And You know what kind of loss that they have experienced or are experiencing. Father, help them not to leave, so to speak, with their head down, but with their head up, with faith in You. May they experience hope again. May they experience strong faith in you. Help them, strengthen them. May they open up their heart to you and say, Lord, have your way through all of this. I'll trust you no matter what. Give them courage now, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.